pressure is an atheist upon his death having his first meeting with God. And I can give another definition to pressure, and that is being asked to speak between Mincha and Maariv on a fast day and given 20 minutes or so to do so. So we'll see what we can do, and sure, Maariv will start 7:30 no matter where I am in my speaking. I would like to just say at the outset, first of all, I thank Rabbi Weinberger and actually the OU who arranged this. Rabbi Weinberger is speaking in our shul, Young Israel, Kew Gardens Hills, while we exchange and I'm here. There are some old friends that I have here. I have my cousin Jerry Tauber is here, and I saw Louis Greenspan. Is he here? Was here. All right, he's my father's therapist. Maybe, oh, there you are, okay. And I want to thank you for keeping my father in shape. At the outset, I'd like to just say that whatever words I say here, and maybe you might agree or disagree with some of my sentiments, I'm not chalila directing anything towards this community, this shul. Whatever I say here are an outgrowth of my own feelings that I say and write about this and addressing our own community as well. So I'm not here because any particular items that I may choose to speak on are representative of anything in this community or its surroundings. But let's get on with it because we are under the pressures of time. And you know, many people have the minhag during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The Rambam is, Hilchos Tshuva is divided into 10 parakim. So many have the minhag of learning through a parak, a chapter a day. And if that's so, that would bring us to Parak Ravi. And the Rambam tells us, because today is the fourth day, Abav Yesrim Dvar Ma'akmin and Satshuva. There are 24 items that can prevent tshuva from taking its full course. And then the Rambam says that the four great items and the headlines, four of the major areas that can be problematic to the person who's considering tshuva, Aleph Amachtias HaRabim, someone who causes the public to sin, of V'chlal Zeh Ma'akevin HaSarabim Lasas Mitzvah, you prevent the public from doing any mitzvahs. You're in the way. You preach against doing mitzvahs. Beis is v'hamates chaveru miderech tov l'ra, if you convince your friend to go from doing good to doing bad, that's a meisa madiach. Gimel is haro b'no yotz latar b'sra. He sees his son going out into a bad direction. Tar b'sra, literally a bad culture. Ve'enem amam chayadu, does nothing to do to correct his son. And then dalid v'oma echte v'oshuv, someone who says, let me sin, and then I will do tshuva at some later time. Uvechlal zeh, including as omav echta yom kippur, echta yom kippur machaper, I will sin, and I'll save it for Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur will take care of my averus. What seems to be happening here, and again, forgive me for being a little bit rushed, but that's, because of the time constraints, that's what it has to be, but what seems to be happening here is that the Rambam is going from a progression. He starts with Hamachti Sarabim, someone who causes the public to sin. He moves on to Beis, and he goes on to someone who causes his friend. He's going from the public now to a single friend. Then he gets more personal. Varois Benoyos Latar B'sro. Then he sees his own son, immediate member of his family, his child, is going out in the wrong direction, does nothing about it. He's culpable for that. And these are very detrimental to someone being serious about tshuva. But then the Rambam concludes by saying, V'oma echte v'arshuv. And the last item is someone who says, let me sin and I'll do tshuva. How does this follow in the progression? Apparently the Rambam is going from the entire community, the smaller community, your friend, even narrower to your own child, and then the Rambam talks about echte v'arshuv. What are you doing here? You're being machti your own self. You're causing yourself to sin. Now we're focusing on your own self. So we've come from the Rambam talking about making the community sin, and we've graduated downwards to making your own self sin. And that's by rationalizing, by saying, Ha'oma Echtavash, let me sin now and I will do tshuva at some later time. So that the Rambam is telling us then that one of the worst things that we can do in our drive to do tshuva is to fool ourselves, to convince ourselves that we're doing good, to convince ourselves everything is fine about us, everything is in place. And that could be one of the worst things that a person can do, because then he can't make a serious commitment to do tshuva. Now, one of the areas where I believe that people are fooling themselves is the area of tznius. I don't want to expect a great groan, tznius, here's another talk about tznius. But it's, I don't want to focus on tznius the way it's commonly discussed, the way particularly women dress, men dress, style of dress. In fact, I found that, and I'm sure many of you will agree, that tznius has been overdashed, let's say, and I find it very often even a cheap shot. I remember that after the 9/11 calamity, a day or so later in our community in Kew Gardens Hills, we had an asifa from Balabatim, Rabbanim, Tehillim, and one of the Rabbanim got up and he said, you know why the Twin Towers fell? Because the women are going in tight blouses. I don't know what he's looking at, where his eyes are at, but to make that connection between women walking in tight blouses and the fall of the Twin Towers was extremely insulting to the entire audience. But it's something that is common. I'm sure you will agree that often we hear, if there's a calamity, if there's sickness, if there's illness, if there's trouble, a shidduchim, there's problems with disease in the community, the women are not tznius. And I think it's something that really should not be used and overused the way it is. But let me just say this about the topic of tznius. The word tsanua, if you look, try to find the word tsanua in Tanakh, you'll find it only in two places, or any variation of the word tsanua. You'll find it in Mishlei Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Beis, Bar Zadon Vayava Kolon, the brash one comes and all that follows him is kolon, is degradation or disgrace. He has tsanua chachma, but what follows the tsanua person is chachma, is a great sense of wisdom. And the Metzudos, it says, what's the tsanua? Hamistatrim atzmam, those who keep themselves literally hidden, they're modest. Mirov anvenusasam, because they are so modest and they're demurring, therefore they have an aura of chachma about them. So there you have it, one pasuk in Mishlei, and then you carry on to Micha and Perek Vav pasuk Ches, and this is the pasuk I'm sure is familiar to all of us. Uma Hashem darish mimcha ki im asos mishpat. What does Hashem want from us except to do mishpat, the avas chesed, to perform chesed, stuck of the chesed, v'hatznei alecha sim elokecha, and to walk modestly with your God. And so here are the two only times in Tanakh that we find the word, the shoresh of tsanua being used. And both cases, it's referring to not the way one is dressed, not to the length of skirt, not to the type of shaitel, the type of blouse, or the type of sleeve that the man rolls up. It's referring to an attitude toward a character of modesty. We find the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chav Tesem and Beis, tells us that the Mekiri Kosos, Mochre Kosos, people who used to, there were people who sold clothing. So Mochre and Kedarkin, the issue was whether they can go out and sell, people, can they sell their goods, their dry goods, their clothing. The issue being, with the suits may carry sharpness. So Mochre Kosos, Mochrim, Kedarkam, they can sell their clothing as normal, you know, they can wear them to display them. However, Bavad Shalo Yischavein, Mithnei HaChama, Mithnei HaGishomim, don't try to protect yourself from the elements, from the heat, or from the rain during those seasons. Don't be a Chacham. We're giving you a hat to wear these, but don't be a Chacham and don't wear these kind of clothing to be protected. Just use it for display. V'hatzenuim, but the tzenuim, mashilim v'makal acharehem, they do not put them on, they don't wear them, but instead they carry them on their shoulders, these clothing. And Rashi tells us, what's hatzenuim? V'hatzenuim, Rashi defines as kisherim, these are the kosher yidin, she'marchikin atzma mikol lazos svasayim, they distance themselves from any possibility of people talking about them, basically of people drawing attention to them. That's how Rashi defines a tsunua. There's a phenomenal Rashi that if Rashi didn't write it, and if one of us wrote it, there's no question we'd be put in the cherim, and I think deservedly so. But Rashi writes this, Rashi Parash. Rashi in Parshas Kisisa Perek Lamedal, it's in Chumash, so I'm not revealing any great secrets here, but familiar Chumash Rashi, we know this Rashi. And it's in Parshas Kisisa Perek Lamedal at Pasuk Gimel, when the Luchos Shnias are about to be given. And here we find the Pasuk tells us, V'ish lo yale imach, make sure no one else, Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, no one else this time goes up with you to Har Sinai. It's going to be in a private encounter. That's the Pasuk. In fact, we just read it. And Rashi tells us, HaRishonos Shehoyu, the first Luchos, which were first given, Shehoyu B'Tshuas V'Kolos, which were given with great fanfare, and a lot of attention, a lot of noise. There were the Kolos and the Barakim. Shalta Bahen Ayin Hara, the Ayin Hara was able to take hold of them, had an effect on the first Luchos, on the first Matan Torah. And that's why what happened, and ultimately the Luchos had to be destroyed. And Rashi concludes by saying, Ein Lucha Yafa Min HaTznius, there's nothing more proper, more beautiful than Tznius. Think about Rashi saying. That's why I say this is so daring and impossible for us to write this. Rashi is saying that the Matan Torah, the Luchos HaRishonos, which were given, were not given in an atmosphere of Tznius. Rashi says that. That's why they didn't succeed, and there was a calamity, and you had the Egel Azov, and you had the broken Luchos. What did succeed were the Luchos Shnios, because it was given privately, it was given in a very modest fashion. Rav Meir Shapiro, as we know, created the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, and that was done with a great sense of fanfare. And there were band leaders, and there were people called, dignitaries from all over the country. Those of you who are zocheh to be in Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, the way it stands today, unfortunately, although I understand it's being reinstituted as yeshiva, but you saw a magnificent edifice, a beautiful building, and there were days that they were spent in the grand opening event of this yeshiva, and the rabbeim and the rosh yeshiva and the admarim were all invited to participate in this grand event. The chutzke of the rebbe, though, told Rav Meir Shapiro when he was invited, "I can't come. I refuse to come." And he told them, and he said, he pointed to this Rashi. He said, Rashi tells us that the Luchos HaRishonim were destroyed because of all the fans of the Kolos of Rakim. You're going to open a yeshiva now with all this hullabaloo? I can't be part of it. Rav Meir Shapiro, though, turned to him and said, but I'll tell you why. Rav Meir Shapiro turned, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why this was done. Why the Rabbani Shalom did give the Luchos the way he did the first time around. He was just as smart as you and I, and he knew as well what Rashi had to say. But Hashem felt at that time, Klal Yisrael sank to such a level, they were just out of the throes of Mitzrayim, having 400 years of a slave mentality, that they had to have a shock treatment. And a shock treatment was going to be the Kolos of Rakim, even if it would meant that calamity would result, but still at that moment that was needed. And that's why he told the Charkova that I'm going along with this. And the Charkova was impressed by those words of Rav Meir Shapiro, and he did join the fanfare. And if you'll find the story in the Mereshes Avos, it's a collection of authentic stories, and I believe it's in Parshas Kisisa, where he mentions the story. And he concludes by saying, I'm not sure if he quotes his own interpretation here, or he quotes somebody, he says, but look what happened to Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro, within 2 years, died, a young man in his 40s, and the yeshiva ultimately left the Melech Churban. So, Rav Meir, it's true that at that moment, it perhaps, as Rav Meir Shapiro said, it needed that fanfare because Klal Yisrael, in terms of Torah development, was in a slumber. It needed that shock. We needed to have that grand opening. But it came with a price. And so, when we talk about Tznius, we have to take it very, very seriously. And I feel that that's something that our community needs to address. And I want to emphasize the way I started. I'm not coming in here, you're coming into the Five Towns, you're talking about this. This is my own community, I've written about this, and I certainly address myself, and I'm guilty of some of the things, there's no question about it, that we'll outline. But the fact is that if there's any mussar here, I'm not in place to give it. You have a Rav, Rabbi Weinberger. I was asked to speak on the topic, and it is a topic that's dear to me. But everything that we do we seem to do is the big and bigger yet. And the way we celebrate our simchas, simchas are wonderful and they should be celebrated. And Baruch Hashem, we can afford it. I'm not going to address the issue of the takanas, but if we can afford it, lama lo. But there still has to be, even if it's a big fancy wedding, but there has to be a modicum of tznius. And also, we have to know where those simchas have their place. Now, upsharings have become a major production. My son yesterday told me that he lives in a certain community, and his friend is making an upsharing. He's going to rent the Children's Museum on Crown Heights for the upsharing, and he bought silver mezuzahs for his rebbe to cut the child's hair. I'm asking you, is this a tzenua way of doing things? The Yamim Tovim that we've had, Pesach and Sukkot, what's become of it? I don't want to address the issues of going to hotels for Pesach. It's not for me to address. I have feelings on that, but it's not my intention right now. But just at least the way it's advertised. Look, in the Ateid Ne'aman, the Haredi newspaper, advertised for Sukkot. There's not even a mention. This for some hotel, that's great, but there's not a mention of the kosher sukkah that they're going to have, the shiurim. It's all about the gourmet dinners that will be served and about the waterfalls in the area. And we stripped our yontif of any meaning. Everything's become in your face. We can do it bigger and better. The tzedakah campaigns that we see. Well, we all know the tzedakah, the ches, we just read it from Micha, but the glitzy 3-4 page ads that we have with this and that, Adam Gottel putting in his, writing out his check, it's Madison Avenueized. I don't get it. It's not the way it used to be done. Everything has to be done glitz. Everything has to be done through an advertising agency. Everything has to be done in your face. Tzedakah is an important, who can knock the idea of tzedakah? But where's the Hatznei Aleches? I'm sure you'll disagree with me on this one. The Tehillim gatherings. Someone sick, Rahman al son in the neighborhood. I know what this happens in our neighborhood, and I express my feelings there. Everybody is well intentioned, there's no question about it. And the people involved, many of them are tzaddikim and tzidkanios. But if someone is sick with a machla, all of a sudden the shul has to become filled with 500 people to say Tehillim. Can't people say Tehillim to themselves privately and pour out their hearts on an individual basis? Why does it have to be everything is a campaign? Again, I understand if you'll disagree with me on that, but there is a particular woman in our neighborhood, a very chashuva rebbetzin, I'll say that. And her family came to me and said, you know, they're making all these big tehillim gatherings, what do you say? I said, personally, I'm not all that thrilled with it. And I told them I think it's lacking tzinius. The sister of this rebbetzin told me, you're the first person to say that to me, and I got to tell you, I wish I could have said that myself. But what can I do? The community is doing it. I don't want to, I'm not knocking Tehillim, but I just think we have to reevaluate how we do things. I know of a certain yeshiva for girls, a very, very respected, let's call it, for lack of a better word, right-wing, base Yaakov type of young girls' school. And they're establishing their dress codes. And a ponytail can only be so long. We're talking about kids in the first grade through eighth grade. Ponytails can be so long. What do they do? They have a teacher whose job it is before school starts to measure the ponytails with a ruler. Is that tznius? They're trying to instill tznius? Is that the tznua way of instilling something? That's how you teach a young girl what tznius is all about? Measure your ponytail or make a selexia? The sefarim that are on tznius, the sefarim themselves that appear on tznius, are they tznua? They tell you, outline with diagrams and tell you exactly what's wrong or what could happen if a woman bends this way or that way, and pictures gives you ideas of what could happen if she, can't even describe it. Some of the stuff that's written on Svarim that are addressing the issue of tznius. Is that tznua? And so I'm just here to share those thoughts. I think that when we talk about tznius, and tznius is something that's bandied about and thrown about, and everybody loves to talk about tznius, and they make an easy target of the women. If the women would only dress differently, if their shaitels wouldn't be such a form, if their blouses would be differently, everything, all the ills would disappear. I think there's a lot more. Yes, all that is very important. Who can chalila knock any of that? But there's something that has to come from the within that will build us from without. And so let's hope that we can conclude with Micha's Hatznei Alechas, you know, the Ma'ari Kron, that pasuk. tells us, Va'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Mimach. That's a parallel to that pasuk that was quoted before of Ma Hashem Darsh Micha Kimasos Mishpat Avas Chesed. The parallel is in Devarim, Va'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Mimach, Kim Liras Hashem Elokecha, Alechas B'chol Avavacha, B'chol Nafshecha. Let's hope that we can instill in ourselves a real feeling of Yir Shemayim and Atznei Aleches in these Aseres Yimei Tshuva that remain. Good job.